Blooming to Normal does love its restaurants. There's a new one on the way. Rob Dobbs will open in late September. A longtime king of fast food in Blooming to Normal is about to open his retirement restaurant, a high-end standalone. Bob Dobbsky was with McDonald's for 35 years, and he says he wanted a different experience.
It was, kind of you were held by the hand to develop your locations and open up a McDonald's restaurant. Everything was kind of done for you in that. Where are you going to locate the store? Who are you going to buy from? How are you going to market it? This and that. Where now that we're out of it, it was time for maybe take that white piece of paper and develop a whole new restaurant business from scratch.
Why did you still have the zest for restauranting? It's not an easy business.
No, definitely not, especially in the hiring aspect of it with quality people and hardworking and that work ethic that seems to be diminishing in our country. But we got out of the McDonald's business, and still having my own health and things going well. I'm not a golfer, and I'm not got too many hobbies in that, and plenty of time to do something. And I said, why, instead of sitting in a lobby of some fast food restaurant drinking coffee for 3 hours with a bunch of other retired people, might as well do something that can help the community and benefit the community.
So be honest here. Did your wife Julie tell you to get a job or get out of the house to keep you out of her hair?
Well, yeah, definitely. As busy as she is and as involved as she is with everything else going on, no, there, that could have been part of the reason in that. I'm an early morning person. I like to get up, and this was a challenge. And I said to myself, even the 35 years in McDonald's and that, what would it be like to start your own business? Because I go back to my family history where my dad started his own one-man meat shop back in 1938 from nothing in Chicago, Illinois. And I says, I wonder what he had to go through, and that's what I wanted to experience this.
Is it different? How different is it from what you were doing?
Oh, it's immensely different. Putting all these pieces together of, again, designing a restaurant and equipping it and hiring and marketing it. Again, without that help of a world global company like McDonald's was for that 35 years, this is way different. In fact, this has really opened my eyes to, I knew construction costs and that, what they were going to be in that, but even buying all the essentials to open up a restaurant, meaning plates and smallwares and equipment and kitchen and to develop this fine dining type of restaurant, and that was just amazing. So,
are there similarities between fast food and fine dining at all?
Yeah, I definitely think your entry level positions, as far as with the employees and that, with whether it be a cashier at a McDonald's counter or a server in a restaurant. It's a lot similar. The managers, even the hours spent in the type of business where Friday and Saturday are your higher volume days, and that I think are pretty parallel to what McDonald's and that with a full menu restaurant. But even in this case, dealing with alcohol, with adult beverages, has been a huge difference and a learning experience for us. Getting our certificate for the Bassett certificate to serve alcohol, and buying the wines and the craft beers now that are there, but that's been a whole new experience. So,
is that fun?
Oh yeah, no, definitely. There are more days that are fun than there are some days when you ask yourself, why didn't I just stay retired and invest the money and go from there? But it, I'm sure at the end of the day, at the end of the tunnel, it's going to be a delightful experience, because I am enjoying it. So,
are there commonalities in quality control or staff turnover or anything else between the two fields, fast food and fine dining?
Well, I think, again, having spent 35 years in McDonald's and with their guidance and their basically controls in place of you know, the quality of food and the consistency, and you know, working with the Board of Health and maintenance and whatever, we're just instilling that in this team that we're building, and our employees, our managers that we've hired already, and that to basically, and it still has to follow the same type of guidelines that McDonald's was in fast food, as this, you know, full menu restaurant's going to be about, you know, a speed of service of again, the health department rules of quality and cleanliness and all that. We're trying to instill that in this whole team that we're building in that. So, yes.
Does being in Bloomington Normal and starting a fine dining restaurant present its own special challenges? Are there unique things to this marketplace?
Well, the uniqueness about this market, as Charlie, you're well aware of, how many per capita that people eat out quite a bit, and then with our current economic position here, with, you know, State Farm, Country Companies, two major hospitals, Illinois State University, Illinois Wesleyan, and hopefully some more industry coming in here, people just don't have time sometimes, and eating out is a factor that, you know, a lot of similar size communities don't have, like Bloomington Normal and that. So I'm banking on that we'll be able to compete in that arena. So
the owner of Jim's Steakhouse, a longtime high-end eatery in Bloomington Normal, has said when you open, he's counting on having a pretty slow fall, as Bloomington Normalites are typically flocking to the new person on the block just to try it out. Is there long-term room for you both, or for the number of high-end places in town? Will we see attrition?
No, I think there definitely is room for all of us in that. But just like he said, whenever a new place opens, we've had a couple that have opened up recently here, you see that thrust of, you know, total, you know, can't get a seat in a restaurant, can't get a dinner in that. But and that'll happen when we open up ours in that. But like Jim's Steakhouse has been here for so many years, has a high, you know, standard and a high quality experience there when you go to eat there and that. And they've established themselves that, again, they have their regular customers, as eventually as we stay open and build up through the years, we will have our regular customers. But I think there's room for everybody, yes.
What do you want to serve?
Well, it'll be a full menu: steaks, seafood, pasta, salads, again, appetizers, a variety of different, you know, pork and chicken, of course, and that. But it's going to be an American menu, basically. So nothing specifically, but high quality, the steaks and seafood. That's what I've heard going through this process around the community, that we need a more extensive seafood choices in that going to restaurants. So we're hoping to bank on that and bring into the community some more seafood in that plates.
Will there be signature dishes? I've heard meatloaf.
Meatloaf, liver and onions, chopped steak, just to name a few there in that. But yeah, there will be a fish and chips in that. But again, we have to be affordable for all the different dynamics of this community, for families, for you know, business meetings, for all the palates around the community in that. So we got to be competitive in our prices and make it affordable for everybody. So.
Are restaurants going to survive the way they have for the last century or so in this era of internet takeout and delivery? We're starting to see that, you know, DoorDash and a number of other delivery services pick up for restaurants. Is that going to be the default for the busy people who no longer have time to cook at home, who typically have gone out? Are they going to move to ordering out?
I think that's definitely on the horizon here, because besides just what you described there as far as the pickup and order and that, even your full menu restaurants in town here are having now call ahead, pull up to the curb, just call us at the restaurant and we'll bring it out to you and that. So along with the fast food, of course, with the Uber Eats and all these other different little delivery services. So, I mean, that's a changing culture that we're going through right now. But I still think our restaurant's going to bring to this community an ambiance and a setting where you're going to want to come in and sit there and eat. With our bar that we are building, we're going to have a piano bar there with a baby grand Steinway piano in that. It's just going to be a little more, not a what you would call a sports bar in this community and that, but somewhere where you can sit there and relax and enjoy your food and have a conversation without yelling and trying to hear each other over it. So,
well, that's something to talk about, the acoustics. I mean, there are a lot of restaurants that try for a bright, lively atmosphere, and they have hard surfaces, so the conversations bounce off, but it's a fine line. If you get too noisy, then it's hard to have a conversation, and you lose that trade. How much attention are you paying to the acoustics, and how quiet do you want it to be?
Well, that, again, definitely how I designed the restaurant and how I laid it out is it's not just one big room where, you know, a bar in the middle and dining all around and all that. We're going to have like three separate dining rooms in it, a separate bar area and that. We're going to have fabric and other carpeting and that in it. And even the ceiling, the old-fashioned metal ceiling that you used to see in restaurants and bars, that's going to be, I'm being told that it's perforated and it'll be able to absorb some of the sound and some of the noise. So we're trying to get to that point where we can minimize as far as the loudness of restaurants. So,
what do people in this day and age, what do customers like for decor? Do they like the bright glitz of an ancho and agave? Do they like the homespun plainer decor of the late lamented Beningos? What's the trend?
Well, I think that's what we're going to find out here pretty soon in the next couple months when we open our doors, is because we're going to have, you know, a very nice decor of different, you know, local stuff, even pictures and artifacts and some of the old Bloomington Normal historical places, but even like Norman Rockwell's we're going to have up in there, Americana, but some abstract, you know, artwork in that, and it's going to be a lot of different things that'll be conversation pieces, let's say, in that, but not just one big, jump from one dining room to the other. We're going to have also, I haven't mentioned the patio outside. We'll have a room for about 65 seats out there for an outdoor patio overlooking Hershey Avenue in that. So, but it's going to be a little different. So then your sports bars with 85 TVs around and that. We'll still have a few TVs in the bar area and that, but it's going to be a little nicer and I think something lacking in this community.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Bob Dobsky, whose new restaurant, Rob Dobbs, is opening in just a little bit on the east side of Bloomington. Are we in an era where friends dine, or is it still mostly family dining together? What's the role of the restaurant in the social makeup of our community?
Well, I think, you know, restaurants as is taken over from when families, let's say back in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, would sit at home around the table and cook the meals and that, and or even have breakfast and that. This is what our culture and our society has switched to. So I think it's not just families, but it's going to be, you know, even for friends and business meetings and that, and that's what everybody looks for, is to kind of break bread and have a drink or two or something and just discuss things and that. And that's what we're hoping that our restaurant's going to provide for the community. So
260 seats seems a lot, is it? I mean, how does that compare to the regular size restaurant or average size restaurant in Bloomington Normal?
No, I definitely, that's right in a ballpark with the other, you know, full menu restaurants in town and that. So that we kind of looked at that and didn't want to overextend it, but didn't want to short ourselves either. In fact, when I first started thinking about this, I actually thought about a second floor to being right next to the airport there and something to have an upstairs-like bar area and that. But with construction costs and when we started getting into the numbers, we says let's start out with just one level and that's it. So,
how much is this restaurant costing to get up and rolling?
I haven't even got the final number in that at this point, Charlie. But, you know, the brick and mortar, I think it's been reported already somewhere around $3 million. And that's the other amazing thing about a fast food franchise getting into and what it costs to open that up with, you know, paper plates and wrappers to wrap sandwiches as opposed to buying plates and silverware and small wares and cooking stuff and that. That I'm still finding out. I haven't got the final figure on that. So,
here's a question about market size. In big cities, there are enough high-end restaurants so that there can be enough jobs for a professional server class, for really accomplished servers who get all the nuances of interacting with diners, and who are socially polished and adept at the really small details that make for a notable experience. In Bloomington Normal, some of the restaurateurs I've talked to said not so much. There are a lot of college kids, but they lack finesse. They're young, after all. In opening a high-end restaurant, is that a challenge?
Oh, that's definitely a challenge in that, but I think we've hired about 90 people or so far, 95, and we're looking to hire a total of about 120, 130 people. But I think we've gotten some people that have actually worked up in Chicago, in St. Louis, in other, you know, even in Peoria with the higher end restaurants and that come with some of that experience in that. So we've got a few of those in that. But that is a challenge. But I think with our initial five manager team here, we have our executive chef, our general manager, our bar manager, two assistant managers and that. I think they bring that experience in all of their past employers and that and where they've worked to develop all this with new people coming in. So,
training routines are tough.
Young people that are even 14, 15-year-olds we would hire in McDonald's and that. The restaurant business, whether it be fast food or full menu, is a good place to develop a work ethic, pride in your work, whether you're sweeping a floor, whether you're mopping a floor or putting away dishes or picking up the trash from the parking lot, to learn that responsibility for a young person. And over the years that we've hired people here in Bloomington Normal and that, people come back and say how fortunate they were, or even parents of kids that work for us, and said how beneficial it was for their children to start working and have that work ethic in that. And I think there's still a restaurant provides that for young people. Yeah. Training is very tough, and that's what we're going to have to be getting into here shortly, as soon as our equipment in the kitchen, which hopefully in the next couple of weeks will be installed and fired up and get it checked out by the Board of Health and that, so we can get that routine. Because, again, we want to build this family of employees that feel like they take ownership in this restaurant, and that was our success in the McDonald's here in town, and we want to, you know, bring that over into Rob Dobbs restaurant, that whole entire experience, not just the menu and the food, which is critical to it, but also the service, the friendliness, the cleanliness of it, the whole ambiance of it, the whole experience that the whole team provides for our customers. So,
Bob Dobbsky, thanks so much for talking with us.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate it.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.